Hello, it's Sunday the 17th of January, and this is another sound walk from me, Rob Watson. And today, my starting point is Leicester Castle, which is just off, the entrance is just off De Montfort University campus, just opposite the Hawthorne building, and there's a cobbled street that comes underneath what is one of the few remaining parts of the Leicester Castle ramparts, Castle Gate, and it leads through into what's known as the Leicester Castle area, just behind St. Mary de Castro Church and the Leicester Castle Business School, as it is now, but as it was the court. So what I'm going to do is just take a quick wander around. There's the what remains of Leicester Castle is basically a mound. It sounds picturesque, but it isn't. It overlooks castle gardens, and actually it is quite nice. It's quite a pleasant kind of space to relax in. This is one of those kind of hidden parts of Leicester. That's on the history trail, and it kind of is on a regular route through into the town centre. So what I'm going to do is just have a... I'm planning to head up north along the River Soar and the Grand Union Canal and up to the Leicester Space Centre and the Abbey Pumping... Abbey Pump. I think that's what it's called. I've got it on my notes. So let's go and have a look at the remains of Leicester Castle and find out what's going on up there. So I'm overlooking Castle Gardens. My view is from what remains of Leicester Castle, which is the mound. Castle Gardens is the original site of Leicester Castle. As I say, it's next to St. Mary de Castro's church. And it's kind of an indication of Leicester's past. And you're really just 2 minutes away from the city centre. And we're not far away from St. Nicholas Circle, where the Holiday Inn is. The statue of Richard III, that is now by the cathedral, and the Richard III Visitors Centre in Leicester used to be based here in Castle Gardens as a memorial to, I don't know whether he's Leicester's first, second, third most famous resident or visitor. But we're along the Grand Union Canal, River Soar, which is where we're going to be heading in a moment. The castle was originally part of the medieval defences of the town, and it was built over the Roman town walls. Leicester goes back to the Roman period. There's a guide here. So I'm standing on the Mott, which is a vast mound linked to a bailey, a defensive enclosure, with a wooden tower on top, which is called Leicester's First Castle. It was built around 1068, soon after the conquest of England by the Normans in 1066, and the castle dominated the town and controlled the river crossing. It ensured that Leicester, about 400 houses and a population of about 2,000, was loyal to the new dynasty. The Mott is now 10 metres high, but was once much taller. In about 1800, 5 metres was taken off the top of the mound for a bowling green. Well, that's long disappeared, but it is flat on the top. Actually, a bowling green would be a great idea for here. On the opposite side of the Mott, the mound, you can see what was formerly Newark College, which is founded by the Earl of Leicester in about 1330. Newark stands for Newark, and was a separate enclosure adjacent to the castle. It was a religious community with a semi-monastic life. Presently what you see is kind of edge of the De Montfort University campus. Some of the original buildings are still retained that weren't demolished in the late 19th, early 20th century. And just up by the business school building is the gateway, the Newark Gateway. So I'm just at Westbridge, which is where the St. Augustine Road passes over. It was a single, a dual carriageway, and it's supplemented with a concrete road that's parallel with it, heading in each direction. If you go up, say, St. Augustine Road, you get to Hinckley Road, which leads out to Hinckley, of all places. But the actually, when I was digging around on Wikipedia, which, by the way, is 20 years old. Who can believe that? Anyway, the information here talks about where the old railway line, which was adjacent to the River Soar, the Grand Central Way, this used to be Westbridge Station, and there's some remnants of it left in Raleigh Park, which was built, I think, in the 1960s and 70s, once the railway linings were decommissioned. And it was engineered by, it was the southernmost part of the Leicester and Swannington Railway, which was primarily to bring coal from northwest Leicestershire into Leicester, and it was actually one of the first railways to be built, and opened in 1832, and was engineered by Robert Stephenson, son of the famous railway pioneer George Stephenson. Its route was northwards through a mile-long tunnel at Glenfield, going up to Daresford, Bagworth, Colville and Swannington. Originally, it was intended for carrying coal, so passengers wasn't a priority. A station was constructed in 1893 next to Tudor Road, but the passenger service ended in 1928. And then coal and oil traffic continued until 1966, and the track was removed and the station buildings were demolished in 1979. There is actually a little bit of the platform left at Raleigh Park. So what I'm going to do is walk up along the River Soar, and we go past Friars Mill, which is a new area of urban regeneration, building apartments and office blocks. Just in front of me are a pair of swans that look like they are courting, and they're doing this really intricate dance of bowing their heads, and occasionally they kind of face one another and form a heart shape as they kind of mirror each other and almost caress one another, just slowly sitting on the water, lost in their edges. It's very graceful. So the Fry Mill area was part of the manufacturing town of the city, and it's a kind of cluster of industrial buildings. Many of them now have been demolished, and they're part of Leicester's textile heritage. And their name comes from the Dominican priory that used to be based here. Around a lot of the factories kind of come from the late 18th century. There's a boiler house, a pump house, a bath mill lane, and cottages. And with the canal and the railway in the coming in the late 18th, early 19th century, that's what really led to Leicester's expansion as an industrial centre of light industry. It's never heavy industry like you get with Sheffield and Newcastle. Shipbuilding or coal mining or anything like that, but it was light industry, textiles, shoe manufacture, that kind of thing. Now the Fry Mills area has been redeveloped for office space, kind of a mixed blessing in a way, so it's good to see some repurposing and redevelopment of the spaces, and that they've kept part of the characteristic architecture and urban landscape and repurposed it, but it frankly has taken a long time, whereas other cities were maybe redeveloping their former industrial brownfield sites 20 years ago. Leicester's finally catching up with that in its city centre, but this area is designated as the waterside, and kind of its mixed use of apartments, business spaces, and I'm just walking up to the weir at what's known, commonly known as Frog Island, where there used to be, literally until about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, a cement factory, which is finally gone, and that's going to be rebuilt with apartments and office space as well. So it's all changing very quickly, and the kind of solitude that you used to be able to get along here with the kind of post-industrial landscape and the kind of, you know, the remnants of that landscape themselves are disappearing as well. So it makes me think that the many times that I've walked along here and cycled along here and taking photographs, maybe, you know, should be more attentive, because it does change very quickly once the redevelopers and the builders come in. Then it moves on, and, you know, I was looking at some photographs of the Westbridge station, and the way that the Great Central Way used to run through Leicester until the mid-1970s, when it was largely demolished to make way for other buildings. It's a shame, really, because it would have been a great line for a high-speed railway, but it was the kind of forward thinking has never maintained that industrial capacity. So I'm just walking across the bridge, which runs above the weir, and the river saw branches off to the left, and the Grand Union Canal branches off to the right, and it goes up to Abbey Park, which is part of the route that I'm taking this morning. The weather today is quite mild. The clouds are broken, so you can see some blue sky. The sun's starting to creep up above the buildings, and it's quite muddy underfoot today. So I'm now just passing under the bridge, which is Saw Lane. It's a shame, really, because the redevelopment has stripped away the blackberry bushes which used to be along the side of the canal here. I'm sure it's going to be landscaped and preserved, but at the, you know, they're digging away at the land is often contaminated in these brownfield sites, and that's why they're so slow to be redeveloped. The economics of it is just that you can't just go in and, as you would with a greenfield site, and throw things up, but you have to deal with any kind of ground contamination, so that's what takes longer. But there's a lot of people out jogging and cycling and having a walk and making the most of what feels like quite an is going to be quite a nice, mild, pleasant day. I'm just heading up to, along the canal, to Frog Island, which is the road that runs, it's the A50. It kind of runs through to High Cross Street, which goes into the town centre, and out through to Groby Road allotment, and along the Groby Road. Here there's an organisation called Graphworks, who do a lot of street art. So the walls around here are decorated. I think they've had permission to do practicing, and there's some really good graffiti art adorning the walls. I must remember to take photographs and capture them and share them on my Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, it's maybe that's one of the themes that we look at with one of these walks in the future, is kind of less is more interesting graffiti work. And Graphworks have been commissioned by the City Council in the last couple of years to do some works around the city, which actually are quite creative and do give... Morning. And do give a good sense of change within the city, because I'm not really sure that Leicester has a kind of visible presence of creativity. When I've been to places like Bristol and Brighton and certain parts of London and Liverpool, you kind of have an immediate sense. There are billboards and there's graffiti work around. I remember many years ago, 20 years ago maybe not quite as long as that, but Leicester banned flyers from being given outside venues, music venues, clubs, and it kind of really meant there was nowhere for, and bill posting. So it really meant that there was nowhere to find out about bands and acts. Whereas when you go to other cities, there's still spaces on the hoardings for people to post, club nights. Obviously, at the moment, all of this is stopped because we're in lockdown. But there is, you know, there's a kind of, you know, it's a sign of the vibrancy of the youth culture of a place, that you have this visibility of graphic design and art. And yet it's very international. It crosses boundaries. It's not traditional Leicester, that's for sure. But it does capture people's imagination, and it would be nice to see a lot more of that kind of... It is unauthorised street art, and I'm not suggesting that people damage property in the process of sharing their creativity, but there are spaces, as if you come to Frog Island, stand here adjacent to the canal, you can see plenty of examples of, you know, vibrant, creative, inventive, graphic art. And you don't need to pay for it either. So I'm now adjacent to Abbey Park. I'm still along the Grand Union Canal. And this area is kind of... at some point I'll do a walk around Abbey Park. Not today. Leave that for a future occasion. Going underneath another footbridge. And... on my left is the park, and on my right is the remains of the industrial estate, which has got a chimney. So the Grand Union Canal kind of brings together a set of independent canals, which is known as the Leicester Line. And it's one of the longest canals in the country, and it reaches all the way up to connect up to the Trent and Mersey Canal. And then to the south, it goes down to London. So there's a section which passes through the centre of Leicester, which is where Castle Park was earlier, which is called the Mile Straight, where you get the Rowan Club, is out there on a regular basis. And on this section of the canal, you've got Foxton Locks and Waterford Locks. And Foxton Locks, if I recall, is one of the highest number of locks in the country. Can't remember the figure off the top of my head. I think it's something like 17 independent locks. I might be exaggerating. The Leicester Line continues along the River Soar and reaches the River Trent at Sawmouth, north of Ratcliffe-on-Soar. And when the Grand Union Canal splits from the River Soar, it heads over to Birmingham. And basically what happened in the 20th century was the 19th century, railways took over from the canal, and lorries took over from the railways in the 20th century. But it's an amalgamation of several different canals, which amount to 286 miles worth of canal. And I haven't seen a boat on... maybe it's too early, but I haven't seen a boat on the river at all. Yeah, I'm just passing underneath the footbridge, which was installed a couple of years ago near Leicester College, which kind of opens up Abbey Park into the city centre a bit more. You can get to it via Burley's Way flyover. And I'm going to be heading north up past Abbey Park. Now, Abbey Park, it's owned by the City Council and managed by the City Council, and it was created in the 1880s to make use of some marshland. It was part of the floodplain. The River Soar would flood regularly, and there was, you know, a need for recreational use and to provide some green space for people living in the city. And the gardens were the work of William Barrow, a celebrated landscape designer, and it was Leicester's first public park of a significant size, and it was opened in 1882 by the Princess of Wales. So come back to Abbey Park at some point as we get through to the spring. So I'm heading up towards Crosby Walk, which is up to Worsley Point. And if you know your history, Cardinal Wolsey, the advisor to Henry VIII, died at Abbey, at Leicester Abbey. And that's why so many things around here are named Wolsley, the Wolsley Chimney, Wolsley Point, and now the new Wolsley housing development. There is actually a mooring point for boats, which I'd not noticed before, so I'm wondering whether it's new, just behind Leicester College. Look out for that. Find out a little bit more about it at some point. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Not a sound walk, but a river ride. Might try and see if we can organise that at some point in the future. Just passing under the bridge at Abbey Park Road. As you can hear, the plenty of pigeons about. There's a gap between the bridge and the wall of the bridge, where there's a small gap where the pigeons nestle and they're making the continuous cooing noise. It's maybe a sign of the times that when you walk past a former factory chimney, and Leicester used to be, you know, brick stacked chimneys, you know, everywhere in the centre. Now their primary use is not for the exhaust of polluting fumes, although that might still be the case on occasions, but rather for telecoms towers and for masts. So they've acquired an unintended use. There is an unintended consequence to what was once an industrial application is now an information application. So the city keeps changing, and you can see it in the kind of scraps and the remnants, the detritus that's left. So I'm now just heading up to Wolsley Point, which, as I say, derived its name from Cardinal Wolsey, and a kind of fixture of Leicester's landscape is the Wolsley Chimney, which has been retained as part of the redevelopment of the area that's taken place in the last few years. Thankfully, there's been the foresight from the City Council to put in a new bridge. We're running parallel with Belgrave Road, otherwise known as the Golden Mile in Leicester. And this opens up this whole area. It's sandwiched between the Grand Union Canal and the River Soar, which makes it technically an island, but it's not really an island. And it's north of Abbey Park. And this is an area which was known as Sock Island because of the hosiery factories that were based here. So locally, people remember it for its industrial purpose. And these names seem to, you know, they merge into history, and it would be great to come for a walk with a knowledgeable, more knowledgeable person than myself, to be able to, you know, talk about and think about why these names have stuck, and what the derivation of them is. And there are many names in Leicester and Leicestershire that have their roots back to Anglo-Saxon times, Norman times, and it would be, you know, the traces of that are to be found as you stroll around. But you know, in the kind of modern age, doesn't really expect us to know what that might, though that evidence of that might be. So I'm now walking through the new estate, which is interconnected by the two footbridges that have recently been installed, which is the Sock Island Estate on Wolseley Point. And walking underneath, they've preserved the Wolseley chimney. It's freestanding. It's not connected to any factories, they've long gone, but it is like a focal point. I wonder if they'll light it up at some point. Maybe that will confuse the local birds. And where I'm heading to, on the other side, so I'm crossing through the estate now. This used to be a nightmare to get around, because you had to go right the way up the river, across, and then back down again to get to the Space Centre. But now it's possible to, through a short shortcut, to get through to the Space Centre, and I can see the Space Centre in front of me. So another visible landmark that's clearly noticeable. So I'm now just heading up to Wolseley Point, which, as I say, derived its name from Cardinal Wolsey. And a kind of fixture of Leicester's landscape is the Wolseley Chimney, which has been retained as part of the redevelopment of the area that's taken place in the last few years. Thankfully, there's been the foresight from the City Council to put in a new bridge. We're running parallel with Belgrave Road, otherwise known as the Golden Mile in Leicester. And this opens up this whole area. It's sandwiched between the Grand Union Canal and the River Soar, which makes it technically an island, but it's not really an island. And it's north of Abbey Park. And this is an area which was known as Sock Island because of the hosiery factories that were based here. So locally, people remember it for its industrial purpose. And these names seem to, you know, they merge into history, and it would be great to come for a walk with a knowledgeable, more knowledgeable person than myself, to be able to, you know, talk about and think about why these names have stuck, and what the derivation of them is. And there are many names in Leicester and Leicestershire that have their roots back to Anglo-Saxon times, Norman times, and it would be, you know, the traces of that are to be found as you stroll around. But in the kind of modern age, doesn't really expect us to know what that might, though that evidence of that might be. So I'm now walking through the new estate, which is interconnected by the two footbridges that have recently been installed, which is the Sock Island Estate on Wolseley Point. And walking underneath, they've preserved the Wolseley chimney. It's freestanding. It's not connected to any factories. They've long gone. But it is like a focal point. I wonder if they'll light it up at some point. Maybe that will confuse the local birds. And where I'm heading to, on the other side, so I'm crossing through the estate now. This used to be a nightmare to get around, because you had to go right the way up the river, across, and then back down again to get to the Space Centre. But now it's possible to, through a short shortcut, to get through to the Space Centre, and I can see the Space Centre in front of me. So another visible landmark that's clearly noticeable. So just in front of me now is the Leicester Space Centre. I'm walking on the left-hand bank of the River Soar. Not quite at my destination, but I'm at the Leicester Space Centre. One more stop to go. The Space Centre is an educational resource which is jointly developed with the University of Leicester. And it's something I never really considered, that Leicester is actually a centre for exploration of the cosmos. It was opened in, I think it was 2001, and it was designed by Nicholas Grimshaw. And it houses exhibitions and displays and a research facility connected with space and satellite development. The centre's got a Soyuz spacecraft and a French spacecraft, and the galleries and the visitor activities cover spaceflight, astronomy and cosmology. Plus there's a planetarium and the usual gift shop and restaurant. And the restaurant is situated beneath the Blue Streak and PGM-17 Thor rockets. All of this stuff, really just check on Wikipedia. As I mentioned earlier, it's 20 years since Wikipedia was first set up. And I kind of decided to take out it's not for profit. It's something that we kind of take for granted now. It's one of those amazing positive resources that you get on the internet. So I've kind of decided to make a regular donation. Right, so I'm at my destination finally, which is the Abbey Pumping Station, which unfortunately is closed, as with the Space Centre, due to the lockdown. So again, once we've arrived at the point where we're able to, people have taken on their vaccinations and everybody's happy being socially distant and still wearing their masks, then maybe these things can open again and give us something to take part in. But the station, it's now a museum of science and technology, and it's got, what's unique about it is there are working steam-powered beam engines, which actually, it's a a sewage station, so it used to pump away Leicester's sewage. It was closed in the 1960s and it was converted to a museum in the 1970s. So it'll be great to come back here at some point and see it in working order. Much more interesting soundscapes to be listened to and had. Again, I'm now kind of standing at the side of the River Soar, where it joins back up with the Grand Union Canal. There's plenty of swans and birds out, enjoying the late January now sunshine that's finally breaking through, so it's as if things are coming to life slightly. But we can always be subject to cold snap, and we've been really fortunate here in Leicester over the last few weeks of not having any snow, whereas other parts of the UK have kind of been flurries of a few inches of snow. So the idea of these sound walks is to just get out and about and explore. At the moment I'm doing it by myself, which is why they're ill-informed and slightly confused. More of a, they're kind of like a ramble. And I'm looking forward to at some point meeting up with some people to do a socially distanced walk, where just anywhere around Leicester that you are familiar with, and that you, it doesn't matter whether you kind of know about the area or you understand its history, but you kind of what it means to you, and you know what you reflect, you know, what when you take your dog for a walk, or when you walk down to the local shops, or when you drive through an area and you don't really notice what is in front of you. And it, you know, a sound walk's a good opportunity to think about and explore a space without, you know, without kind of being bombarded. You kind of reflect, take your time, listen. It's an interesting way to re-engage with the world. So if you want to get in contact with me to take part in one of these walks at some point as we come out of lockdown, then just message me on Twitter or Instagram, which is Rob W Media, or you can send me an email at rob@robwatsonmedia.net, and we'll share your thoughts. You know, no more than half an hour to an hour for a little stroll, and we'll kind of have a listen to see what is around us.